For more information about Morningside Academy, call...
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Well, good morning. Good morning. Still morning, right, Karen?
It is morning.
This is David Francoeur here at WCNO for our next iteration of Wednesday Live. And Karen Hubbard is also with us. Say hello.
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 Good morning.
And we have a special guest with us today, Teresa Albizu.
Yes, good morning.
I did it right.
You did it right.
And Teresa is the CEO of Safe Space of the Treasure Coast. Is that the full name? And Safe Space has been doing a marvelous work in our area since 1979.
Yeah.
And but many people don't know what Safe Space does, and it has such a significant impact in this particular area for the population, for the people, the constituents, if you will, that Safe Space serves, that we asked Teresa to come here today and spend a few minutes telling us what Safe Space does and how we can help. So Teresa, I'm just going to turn it over to you. The real big question is, what is the mission of Safe Space?
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for inviting me to be here with you today, and thank you to the audience that is participating. Safe Space is a domestic violence services and programs agency. We actually provide victims of domestic violence safety, education, support. And what we do comes from an empowerment model. It's trying to help them transition out of situations of domestic violence with intimate partners and find themselves feeling self-sufficient, recovering their self-determination to make the decisions that they need to make in life to achieve independency and be able to be, you know, positive contributors to our communities. Mm. And we have been doing this for over 40 years. We were first established in 1979 in Indian River County. And we also have offices in San Lucie County. And our main administrative offices are in Martin County. And that is also where our emergency shelter is located.
Mm.
So I think that one of the things that we want to always clarify with our audiences is that when people think of Safe Space, they think of emergency shelter. But in reality, Safe Space is so much more than that, because the emergency shelter is here to help those individuals, women, men, children, who are transitioning out of violent households that do not have a place to go, right? They don't have a place where they can feel that they can have safety while they're transitioning into independent life. And they stay in our shelter for those individuals an average of 6 to 8 weeks. And after that period of time, we continue working with them through a very comprehensive program of outreach services that are offered to them on a non-residential basis. A lot of the individuals that come to us seeking assistance and safety have a place to go. They may have friends, family, or have the financial means to be able to seek some alternative living space. And we provide all our services to them through our non-residential outreach services. And we have a very comprehensive list of services that we offer, both in shelter as well as through our non-residential programs. But one of the things that I wanted to stress is that domestic violence has been a pandemic before the COVID-19 outbreak. This is a very pervasive issue in this country. Mm. And the problem with domestic violence is that it has traditionally been a taboo subject, right? People don't like to speak about domestic abuse.
That's true.
They want to keep it very private. There's a lot of shaming that is reported from by victims that are subject to domestic violence. And so what we want to be able to stress is that 1 in 3 women and 1 in 4 men have been or will be subject to some sort of intimate partner violence during their lifetime. Right. And that those are staggering numbers. And I think that to illustrate that is that nearly 20 people per minute are physically abused by an intimate partner in the United States. 20 people per minute every single day.
Wow.
So if we think about that, there's a immense number of individuals that need domestic violence assistance. And that is why in the state of Florida, there are 41 certified domestic violence centers to be able to provide proper support, education, and above all, safety to victims of domestic abuse.
Wow. In this area now, those numbers are staggering.
Yes.
But in the area that you serve,
yes,
and I would love to hear the statistics that speak to how you've been fulfilling your mission.
Right.
Tell me the numbers.
So we Safe Space is serving an average of 750 adults and children every single year.
Mm.
And to put it into perspective, that number, 20% are children. So we actually service a great number of children through our programs. And the important thing is that men are also included in this number, and they're about 19% of the total served, of the total adults served.
Mm-hmm.
We are Tri-County, and in Indian River County, we offer non-residential programs, and we are very pleased to say that we are now considering opening a shelter in Indian River County. We want the residents of Indian River County that are experiencing domestic abuse not having to be uprooted from their community to come to Martin for shelter. So we're very happy that we have received the support of a group of funders to support us with this project. In St. Lucie County, we have dedicated office space in collaboration with the Boys and Girls Club. And there we offer outreach services as well as injunction for protection services. And I think that that's an important service that we provide, because individuals that are dealing with domestic abuse and need to face some sort of court hearing or legal procedure or process, it's very daunting to be able to do that at a moment of heightened trauma. Mm-hmm. And so having attorneys that understand what they're going through and are competent in assisting them navigating the very complex process is very important to our victims. So we have three attorneys, full-time attorneys on staff, and one paralegal. And I want to emphasize to everyone that everything we do and every service and program we offer is free of cost to anyone that comes to seek help from us.
That's incredible. But that leads me to another question, because cost is always a concern. You're a nonprofit, so
yes,
you look to funding that comes either from grants or from individual donors.
Yes.
So tell me, there always are needs in nonprofits. I told you I've been working for nonprofits all my life.
Yeah.
So tell me, what is the breakdown of your income in the agency?
So Safe Space is a single source provider of domestic violence services on the Treasure Coast. I think everybody should be very cognizant of that.
Mm-hmm.
There are no other shelters that have the knowledge and expertise to be able to address instances and issues related to domestic violence. Our annual budget is close to $3 million. About 50% of that amount is funded through the federal government, through the Victims of Crime Act grant mm-hmm. funding, and at the state level from the Department of Children and Families. Therefore, the other 50% we must raise every year through other grants, private contributions, individual donors, corporate donors, foundations, and the like. So that's mm-hmm. about $1.5 million every single mm-hmm. year.
And that's, of course, coming in from individuals and groups.
Yes.
Corporate donors. But as I well know that you can't count when you start your fiscal year, you can't count on that $1.5 million coming in.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So how may someone who has a heart for what you're doing, and mm-hmm. clearly it's a unique agency, unique ministry, how would they get in touch with you? First of all, to make a donation, but let's say they're a victim of domestic violence.
Right.
How would they get in touch with
you for that? So the best way to get in touch with us is through our hotline number. Mm-hmm. And our hotline number is 772-288-7023. You can also reach us via our website, and our website is www.safespaceflorida.org.
Great, and I'll ask you for that information again later.
Yes.
Because some people are coming in right now and they're saying, who is this person? We're interviewing Teresa Albizu with the Safe Space of the Treasure Coast, domestic violence agency. Unique in how they reach out to the needs of the people who come to them, and have helped a lot of people, saved a lot of people in the domestic violence environment. Tell us we've talked about how you can be supported, but we know that there's a horrible impact on individuals through domestic violence. It's painful, it's horrible, it's fearful. I mean, there's a lot of negative emotions involved in that. Help our listeners to understand something of the impact on the individual when domestic violence occurs.
So domestic abuse has a very deep impact on the well-being, psychological, emotional, and physical well-being of individuals. I think it's important to recognize that domestic violence is not just about physical abuse, but it also includes emotional, psychological, verbal. Even cyber stalking or stalking is also considered domestic violence. And the psychological trauma that accompanies these occurrences are very severe, because domestic violence is all about power and control. Mm-hmm. So it gives individuals this sense of helplessness, mm-hmm. right? Of mm-hmm. hopelessness, of I will never be able to get out of this. How could I be able to get over and recover from such a situation and find my independence in life as well? So it is important that they are provided with the proper support, yeah. Including mental health services.
And that's just the beginning of what hopefully will be a new life.
Yes.
I'm sure there are a lot of success stories.
Yes.
That you could share with us. And I'm not going to ask you, as I'm giving, I wouldn't want you to give up confidences, but is there one story that sticks in your mind?
Well, I think that we had a victim of domestic violence from Indian River County who, after many years of having been subject to aggression in the household, in the middle of the night decided to grab her two kids and seek shelter in Indian River County. And unfortunately, the shelters that she approached could not take her in. So through conversations with a friend, her friend said, go to Safe Space, go to Safe Space. She didn't even have enough gas in her car to get to us in Martin County. So her friend gave her $20. She came to us. We opened our doors. We welcomed her in, right? We accept that individuals who have been under the stressors of domestic abuse have a great difficulty getting out, right? This is a misnomer also among the community that we have to stop victimizing the victim further, right? Of saying, why didn't you get out before? Well, it's very difficult to make that decision and to ensure that they will be safe, and especially if they have children, that the safety of their children is protected. She came into us, she worked with us, she stayed with us for about 8 weeks. We helped her transition to independent housing, and in time, she was able to complete her nursing degree. Today, she is a professional in the health field. Her children are fully engaged in school, and she has her own apartment. So I think that that is a great way that demonstrates the impact that we can have in people's lives.
That's a powerful story. I know there are so many.
Yes, there are.
Almost uncounted numbers of stories of changing lives through Safe Space. Tell us again, Teresa, how someone can reach you to find out more about you, maybe to donate, or someone is listening right now and is trying to make a decision about leaving a difficult domestic abuse situation.
Yes, we want to let everyone know you're not alone if you're experiencing a situation of domestic abuse. Please call us through our hotline. It's 772-288-7023. We also have a comprehensive website. And you can access that via www.safespacefl.org.
Wonderful. Thank you, Teresa. And our time is almost up for this segment, but I wanted to thank you for coming.
Of course, my pleasure.
I also want to encourage our listeners, if you tuned in at a time when none of the information was being given, which often happens, you can contact the radio station at 888-221-8990. That's our toll-free number. And during the hours of 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, there's someone here that will help get you that information. And if you happen to need it when we're not open, you can, if you have a smartphone, you can go online to the website, which again is, Teresa?
www.safespacefl.org.
Right, and there are phone numbers there to contact.
Absolutely.
Including the house.
Yes, right. 772-288-7023.
Wonderful. God bless you and the ministry you're doing and all the people that you're helping. We know that you have the heart of Christ, and you're bringing his compassion, his mercy to some very needy people.
Yes, and we're being guided by his hand, Dave.
Absolutely.
We're sure
always. Always, and we pray for that. We hope we'll have you come back on the air sometime.
Thank you.
You have some things you want to talk about, some programs to share with our people that they can participate in. All you got to do is let us know, okay?
Thank you so much, Dave. Thank you for everyone who's listening in.
Amen. Amen. And we're gonna go to a little music now, and then we'll be able to come back for the rest of Wednesday Live. Beautiful, beautiful. Well, we're back. We want to thank Teresa Albizu again for coming in and sharing with us about Safe Space. This is something we want to follow up on. We hope you want to as well. What a great place where the heart of Christ is being exercised. And the people really, really have hit the end of their rope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's, you know, domestic abuse is all kind of different ways.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and anyone that's in that crisis, you know, that is just has nowhere to go, then Safe Space is the place to call.
They've
got all the resources and everything. You know, they take care of them, you know, with the time that they spent there residentially, but then they also have other resources outside of them that they are partnering with.
Absolutely, yes. And that's the neat thing is God is working more in the areas of partnering, bringing people together
with
their resources, their hearts, their missions and visions that are similar. And speaking of which, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Treasure Coast Food Bank. And no, it's not a place where you can go and deposit your grilled cheese sandwich and they'll give you a grilled cheese sandwich and a pack of chips.
Yeah.
No, that's
for your deposit.
But they would appreciate some funds coming there, Ray. The Treasure Coast Food Bank is a nonprofit organization. They've been around for a good long time. They supply food that they've acquired through sometimes the government has food programs, sometimes the stores will send them breads and meats and things that they're not unsafe to eat. They just pass the store's, you know, sell by date. And what they do is for qualified ministries that are reaching out to the homeless and the hungry, they provide this food. And they've been doing this for a long time. And I recently had an email from a young lady that works there, Alexis Morea, if I'm pronouncing her name correct. And Alexis asked if we would talk about Treasure Coast Food Bank. But also, World Hunger Day is the 28th of this month. That's a few days from now. It's a day when, you know, we should be thinking about the hungry and the homeless every day and praying for them if we're not personally involved in doing something to help alleviate their need. But the Treasure Coast Food Bank provides food to several area churches and other organizations that feed the homeless and the hungry. And they're seeking to expand the public awareness of what they do and to share with more people their mission and vision. And they're also seeking, of course, for public support. Like Safe Space, I'm sure they have some measure of income that comes from grants and other forms like that, but they have a lot of individual donor income that they depend on to make this thing work. Like everybody else, you got a God-given ministry and God will supply the needs. And there are plenty of needs to make sure that the work is being done. So the Treasure Coast Food Bank is in, the main location is in Fort Pierce. And you can reach them by phone. You can call 772-489-3034. Now that's the main number for the Fort Pierce site of where they work out of. They have a big warehouse. I've been there helping package food and stuff in the past. Mm-hmm. My wife and I both did that for a little bit. And especially for World Hunger Day, think about what you can do to help. If you have resources that God is speaking to you about putting in their direction, you can also go online. I did not write down their website, but it's Treasure Coast Food Bank, PSA. Well, it's a PSA is what we're doing right now, public service announcement. But it's Treasure Coast Food Bank for Fort Pierce. If you type that into your search engine, you'll get their website, and it'll tell you everything you need to know about them. They're a viable ministry. I've been involved in churches that received the food that they provided, and I've watched people getting it who are so grateful because they had nothing. We who have a lot, let us think about how we might share some of that abundance with those that need to receive it. And Treasure Coast Food Bank is a viable, active, God-honoring, Christ-serving mission in the Treasure Coast. Well, Karen,
Dave.
Guess what?
What?
Ma and Pa are here.
They are.
They are. They kind of snuck in while I was talking, which is something they do quite regularly.
That's right.
But anyway.
Pop in here and there.
And we have, of course, our fill-in announcer from the UK, who is taking over for Jonathan while he is still out of town.
And his name is Basil, is it not?
But Basil, yes, it's Basil. I don't know his full name, because some of these folks have long hyphenated names. I don't know that.
They do.
Anyway, here we go. Here we go. He's Basil sitting right down here at the mic. Most of our listeners know that Ma and Pa have an active farm. Their fertile fields produce several kinds of seasonal vegetables. They also keep pigs and a couple of cows for milk. What most people know about Ma and Pa is that their laying hens have become famous for the quantity and quality of their eggs. The building of the hen house and the stocking of laying hens was originally Pa's project. And over the years, he's come to have a particular passion for the care and nurture of chickens. In fact, it was our general manager's uninformed commentary about how he thought chickens produced eggs that caused Ma and Pa to reach out to the radio station to begin with. That initial contact has been very fruitful for this station, and also for Ma and Pa. Not only have their stories blessed us, but their ongoing chicken lore has elevated everyone's appreciation for Gallus domesticus. We haven't heard much about their hens recently, but today Pa's having a personal struggle, and we're privileged to listen in as he shares with Ma.
Hey, Ma, you got a minute?
I believe I do, Pa. What's on your mind?
Well, it's more on what's on my heart. My heart is hurting something fierce, Ma. I mean, I had such grief pain for quite a spell.
Oh, Pa, I can tell by the look on your face that you're hurting. What happened? Is someone we know sick? Is it a family member? Did someone die, Pa?
I'm having a real hard time speaking about it, Ma. Just talking about it makes it real. You know, it's like that time my daddy had his heart attack. I was there when he collapsed. I remember dragging him to the pickup truck and throwing him into the cab and then racing to the hospital. Praise God, we got him there just in time.
Yeah, I remember that day for sure, Pa. So someone we know is sick? Is that it? Who is it, Pa? Is it a friend? Maybe a member of the church? Someone in the family? Pa, you gotta tell me, and I mean right now.
Oh, Ma, it's family. I mean, she's the one that always looked out, others looked at for guidance and leadership. Well, she's the one what set the example for the others to follow. Well, when they was all tired and ready to quit, well, she pulled herself up and showed them what it meant to give 110%.
Oh, Pa, it sounds an awful lot like my mama. And you're telling me my mom is sick? Is she real bad sick? Is she, Pa?
Your mama? Oh, no, Ma. She's fine as far as I know.
Well, all right then. Just who are we talking about?
Gloria.
Gloria. Gloria. Now, who... Now, just wait a minute. Are you talking about a chicken?
Yeah, Ma. Well, you know Gloria is my chief hen, top layer of the whole flock. All them hens look up to her, and she sets the pace for all the egg laying they do.
Pa, you had me all wound up and near tears, thinking that my mama was near death. And all the time, you're talking about a chicken.
Yeah, sorry, Ma. I guess I got so wound up grieving that I forgot to tell you and fill you in on the details.
Well, all right, Pa. I guess I can understand your feelings on this. You and them hens got a special bond.
Oh, that's right. I'm their cheerleader, if you know what I mean, Ma. I mean, every day I get into the hen house, check on them, give them clean straw in their laying boxes, make sure the radio's on at just the right volume, and then I talk to them, you know, encouraging like.
Pa, you know, I ain't never known any other person, man or woman, who ever took such good care of the chickens as you do. Why, when they get too old to lay, you won't let us eat them like other folks do. You just move them on down there to that little fenced-in place out yonder, the place you call the Shady Rest Chicken Home.
Yeah, Ma. I can't bear to just take their lives after all they've done for us.
I know, Pa. But I think that little graveyard with them tiny headstones is a bit much.
Well, Ma, every now and then, I go there and I sit down on the ground and just thank God
for all them good layers what helped us with them eggs. You know that over the years, the eggs we sell at the farmer's market done paid for a lot of things. My new pickup, the roof on the house, that our new washing machine for you.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. That nice, shiny new washing machine. What has a bigger tub so I can wash more clothes and everything else. I can't thank you enough for your generosity, Pa. Now I get a little more time to get some other chores done around the house. Thanks, Pa.
I caught that little bit of sarcasm, Ma. But I know that you really appreciate the washer because you gave it a name. The other day I heard you call it Jack. I ain't never named any machine afore, but you give that washer a name.
Well, his full name is Jack the Ripper, because that agitator's always grabbing onto one of my blouses or skirts and ripping it to shreds.
Oh, well, I guess we need to get it serviced.
Sure, but, you know, not before I do a load of your Hawaiian shirts.
Of course. hey, wait a minute.
Now let's get back to talking about Gloria. What's got you so wound up, Pa?
Oh, Ma. I went into the hen house this morning. All the chickens was real quiet. Ain't like them, so I walked around checking them out. And when I got to Gloria, I knew why those other hens was quiet. Well, they was all shocked.
What do you mean, shocked?
Oh, you'd have to see Gloria to understand, Ma. I mean, she was just sunk in her laying box, her wings just a-hanging down, her head resting on one wing, eyes closed. Beak with a tiny tremble in it. Oh, Ma, it was just horrible.
I am so sorry, Pa. Old Gloria has been with us for a good while, and she's really put out a passel of eggs.
Yeah, but now it looks like she ain't got a lot of time left, Ma. I was going to take her out to the Shady Rest chicken home, but I don't think she has the strength for the trip.
Oh, Pa, it's only 20 feet from the hen house.
I know. But I believe if I remove her now, that she'll be all alone out there, and I don't want that. Besides, the other hens want to be with her to the end. I'm sure of that.
Okay, Pa.
And when I spoke to her, Ma, one eye kind of half open, and she looked at me. And with all her remaining strength, I believe she said goodbye.
She said? Oh, Pa.
And I wanted so bad to pray for her.
Well, why didn't you?
Well, we pray for folks all the time, but I wasn't sure that God would allow a prayer for an animal.
Pa, don't you remember reading in your Bible in Genesis where God done give Adam and Eve dominion over all the creatures?
Well, yeah, that's Genesis 1:26, and I'll quote to you. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth."
Well then, if God give them, and by extension us, as their descendants, with that kind of authority, then dominion means every level of caring that we can provide. And asking God to help us with his animals has got to be part of that.
Well, Ma, again, your wisdom has done conquered my ignorance. I believe I'm going right back to the hen house and ask God to bless old Gloria before she dies. I know it's different than praying for a person, but if and he can give her some comfort.
I understand, Pa. You go and do what you need to do.
Thanks, Ma. And if and you'd be so kind, would you plug my Dremel tool into the charger?
Sure, Pa. But what for?
Well, after Gloria passes, I got to make sure she has a proper burial in the chicken graveyard.
Of course, Pa. You gonna make her a headstone?
Well, actually, Ma, she's been such a great hen, I believe I'm gonna make her a mausoleum.
We join with Pa in his grieving process. We can all remember our heartfelt losses. When we are emotionally and spiritually wounded, it is then we come to know the goodness and deep compassion of our God. Ma was able to encourage Pa to expand the boundaries of his understanding of God's love by reminding him of what God's word says about the charge he's given mankind in having dominion over the earth and its creatures. Knowing that any manner in which we serve God must reflect his very nature, and that nature being perfect love, compassion, and mercy, every mediation of his authority must reveal the person of God. Pa's tender heart towards the hens that provide for some of their needs exposes us to that certain character of God which he invests in those who follow him. And we come to appreciate and respect the compassion that drove Pa to want to ease Gloria's suffering. Because God often reveals himself in these simple moments of caring, we encourage you to open your hearts and minds to such revelations and to help others to see what you will see. When God told Isaiah, as recorded in chapter 28, verse 18, "And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places," he wasn't just referring to geography, for God himself sees your and my soul as a sure dwelling place for his spirit. Well, and that's Ma and Pa. Thanks for coming by, and thank the Basil from the UK for filling in for Jonathan. Yes. We're so grateful for that. We have some one prayer request and some praise reports that we'd like to share that came in through the mail. And first one is from Donna, or no, not Donna. Well, I don't know, Jennifer, okay. Oh, there's a lot of writing on this. Donna, it's Jennifer, yeah, close. She says, "May God continue to bless you for all the dedication and drive to strive in this radio ministry. It is truly a blessing that so many who listen to the program, I hear different listeners call in to tell the story of how they were led to Jesus Christ." And so she goes on to give us, she's a great pleasure in sharing their joy. She enjoys hearing the testimonies. And she believes that what we do, the programs that we hear, especially Joyce Myers and Trevor Banks, really help her in her daily walk with Christ. And we're just so happy to be able to share this with you and to thank Jennifer for that affirmation. Amen. Tells us what we're doing. And then from Colleen, we have a commentary. She says, "Thank you for all you do to keep the radio station WCNO on the air. It has been a tremendous help in my Christian journey. We're praying that God will bless all of you for doing what it takes to keep the station on the air. It has ministered to many in so many different ways. It is appreciated." Amen. And we thank you, Colleen, for those wonderful words. And that just mirrors so many of the other testimonies that we've heard and praise reports.
Yes, it's so great to hear from the listeners.
Yes.
You know, because they're real people out there.
Absolutely real people. And we're real people here.
We're real people here, yes.
That's really cool. And we're not robots.
That's right. You know, and I keep repeating that. Jonathan repeats it. Because when I first started working here, that's what Tom said. I remember during the first fundraiser, Tom said, you know, if you call our number, 888-221-8990, then a real human being is going to answer.
That's right. That's right.
Not a robot, answering machine will pick up, you know, if nobody's here, of course.
It's one of the job requirements to work here is you have to be a real human being.
A real human being.
That's right.
That's
so
right.
I'm excited about that. And you have...
And then I've got a note here from one of our listeners.
Okay.
And this is from Carolyn from Port St. Lucie. And she said, "We are blessed by the worshipful music you play. It really gets our focus on Jesus. God bless you." And that's really what our heart is. You know, when we pick the music, you know, we always look for those songs that are going to lift up the name of Jesus and to edify you in your walk with the Lord.
Amen. We appreciate that commentary. We're not, we always love when you call in at the direction of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And share your testimony with us. And it helps to know that we're impacting. We know we are. God tells us we are. But mm-hmm. It's always wonderful to hear from our listening audience that
it is.
We are reaching you.
And I always think of it as, you know, when you go to a restaurant and you really enjoy your meal, you know, make sure to tell someone that it was great and thank you. And, you know, because it helps you. It helps you when you are grateful and thankful. You know, the Lord increases in your life. It blesses, you know, in our case, it blesses us when we hear, you know, thank you for all that we do. But it's really for your benefit.
Amen.
For God to increase in your life.
And that's what we want. That's the whole reason why the gospel is preached to begin with, is is first to capture the attention of the lost. And I know the Holy Spirit is working on people even if they don't know it.
That's right.
Because when I met Jesus in 1976, I know that as soon as I invited Jesus into my life, but what enabled me to was the Spirit kept saying to me, it's true.
Yeah.
Jesus is real. The Bible is true. You can believe it. And God keeps its promises. And that's what opened us to that. We are possibly going to have one more phone interview, but we're waiting for him to be patched in. He's supposed to be calling back.
Well, let me read this other.
Okay, please. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we have another note here from Janine in Lantana. Thank you for your ministry, and may God bless. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. That's from Janine in Lantana. God bless you, Janine, and thank you so much. Thank you. And we do have one prayer request, if we want to go ahead and do that, Dave. And then are we going to go to a song after this?
I think let's do the prayer request, and then we'll see what's happening.
Okay. All right. So Inez is asking to please pray for her future home building process. So I will go ahead and lift that up. And Inez is from Royal Palm Beach. So, Lord, we just lift up Inez to you, Lord, and we ask, God, that you would be with her, Father, in every part of building her home, every part of the process, Lord, from the plans, from the architect, the builders, and all those who are going to be involved in it. Father God, we speak your blessings over it now in the name of Jesus, Lord, and I pray that you would move things along swiftly and quickly, and, Father, that you would pull everything together for her, so that when she gets into her home, God, that she can glorify you and give thanks to you and dedicate her home to you, Lord. And we thank you, God, for touching her and blessing her, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I'm going to bring up some music while we're waiting for our next interview. Well, welcome back, and we have on the line, I'm going to hope I pronounced this right, Bob Schertz, is that right?
That's correct, sir. How are you doing?
Welcome to WCNO and our Wednesday Live. Bob is, I'm going to call you the curator of the Road to Victory Military Museum in Stuart. Is that an appropriate term for you, Bob?
Well, that's fine. I'm on the board of directors.
We're on the board of directors. Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't ever been to the museum, but I know where it is. So it's just up to me to get there. But I'd love for you, Bob, because you're an Air Force veteran, I know, and we're all these days very concerned and appreciative of what our veterans have done for us. And I'm hoping that only continues. But you have some Memorial Day programs coming up you'd like to talk about, and I'd also like you to talk about the museum, if you will.
Oh, super. Well, Memorial Day program is coming up on Monday, of course, and that's always the last Monday of May. It originally started out right after the Civil War, and it was known as Remembrance Day. And so that was to remember the Civil War veterans, and then after World War One, they had the invention of the poppies that people wore to remember the World War One veterans. And eventually became known as Memorial Day to honor all veterans who sacrificed, gave the last full measure, those who passed away and aren't there with us anymore. Anyway, our program, which honors those veterans who are no longer with us. It starts at, the parade starts at 10 o'clock in downtown Stuart on Ocean Boulevard, and it'll proceed to Memorial Park. Our museum's right behind the park, so after the ceremonies, you can stop by and see our museum, and we'll be open as long as people are interested in coming and checking out the museum. After the parade, there'll be a short ceremony in Memorial Park, and that's probably going to be about 11 o'clock. The MC for the event will be Ray Giasullo, who's the president of the Veterans Council for Martin County, and Representative Brian Mast will be the guest speaker. So that's going to be coming on Monday, and you're all welcome to come out and honor those veterans who gave the last full measure. Our little museum, which is located behind Memorial Park on 317 Stipman Boulevard, is a 501c3 nonprofit, and we're open every Saturday from 10 to 2. Or if there's a group of people who would like to see the museum, they can call us and make arrangements for a private tour and things of that nature. And just glad to be with you guys today. I served during the Vietnam War for 6 years in the Air Force. So God bless the veterans, all of them, who continue to serve to this moment.
Amen. And this is something I had said earlier, that we as a country, this is not just my opinion, by the way, but I know you'll join me in that, but we as a country need to come to a greater appreciation for the men and the women that have been sent into harm's way to keep our freedoms, and to especially those that gave the fullness of their life for this country. We need to honor them, and we need to come together in that. And I'm hoping that we're seeing more an increase in that today, Bob. Is that something you're noticing?
I want to see it. I know that all the veterans, no matter who you are, where you're from, or what your history is, once you get put the boots on and become part of the brotherhood of the military, you are brothers, and we respect that. We'll kid each other. We'll make fun of each other, one service against the other, but there's a bond there. And it's a bond that I think crosses all races, creeds, colors. And that's what actually forms this country. Is that's what I call patriotism. It's called a unity. It's called a sole purpose of us and trying to preserve and enjoy the freedoms we have, which was given to us by those who came before and sacrificed, is things we need to appreciate and respect.
Amen. I'd like to get back to the museum for just a moment, Bob.
Sure.
What in general, what type of a collection do you have in there? What would people see when they come into the museum?
Well, it's an incredible, amazing little museum that focuses mainly on individuals, because much of our donations are from individuals. So if you want to see a particular story of one individual, say in the Navy, and it doesn't matter, we even have a display on the Civil War uniforms and things of that nature, a McClellan saddle, World War One, both German and American artifacts are in there. We have World War Two, of course, big selection of World War Two items, and we have items that were taken by the 101st from the Burgess Garden. We have one of the flags there was delivered to us. Another item was a Japanese machine gun that was captured on Iwo Jima. We also have a display on the Korean War. That's the Forgotten War. A lot of people aren't familiar with, but we had some incredible sacrifices given there as the battle surged back and forth three times. And the poor soldiers were there. They're fighting against a bunch of lease weapons that were given to our enemies, which were the North Koreans and the Chinese at that time. We have several vehicles out front and maintained, and they'll all be available Memorial Day. You'll be able to walk by and see them. We also have a reading room, a library, and you can actually come in and check out books and reference books on various wars and histories from our little museum right there. There's also a display on the contributions of black soldiers in the Army who fought I just finished a book on the 76th 761st Tank Battalion, who were known as Patton's Panzers, and the blacks during World War II, they suffered wars internally and externally. Even in their training down south, they weren't treated correctly, but they fought as hard as anybody.
Yes.
And deserve that recognition. So we have a blend of everything in there, and we have ongoing projects. Vehicles we're restoring. I'm working on a Burma Jeep, which is like a Jeep on steroids, a big six-cylinder, holds 12 people in the back. We're putting that back together. So we're honoring the veterans and preserving history. That's our main function. We also have a Ranger program, our Victory Rangers, which kids can participate in from like 14 to all the way up to 20, 21. And they learn about World War II history. We take them to events. They also get to learn how to work on World War II vehicles and maintain them. So it's a win-win on both sides.
It sounds.
Kids learn, and we love to teach them.
It sounds like a rather wonderfully full experience that you have down there, and it probably is growing. With our time, we have a few minutes left, Bob, and I just want to ask you again, for those that are just tuning in, this is Bob Schertz, and he's on the board of directors with the Road to Victory Military Museum here in Stuart, and he's also calling in to talk to us about Memorial Day. So very quickly, Bob, if you could kind of give us a thumbnail sketch of when these Memorial Day activities will be starting. And you know, again, talk about the agenda for the day, and then how people can find out about that, if there's a website or a phone number they can call.
Sure, absolutely. They can call. Our contact number is 703-835-4166, and they'll answer the phone and give you information about the museum, and we're happy to host groups if they want to come in. We'll make arrangements. A lot of veterans, they do that. Some of the people that are getting older, a lot of the veterans grow older. We just celebrated a veteran who turned 100 years old about a month or two ago, and we had a big parade with fire trucks and everything, and he just absolutely loved it.
Wow.
And we can't help but realize the hardships. I mean, a lot of those guys, they had World War One, then they went through the Depression, and then immediately there's World War Two.
Mm.
And for my father, who went through that, he got called back in for Korea. So we're honoring those guys.
Wow.
And I just want to have everybody come out to Stuart, downtown Stuart. We have a parade Monday. It's going to start around 10 o'clock, and we'll be proceeding on Ocean Boulevard, driving down to Memorial Park and turning in there. And there'll be a short ceremony, probably about a half hour long, maybe a little bit longer. We have guest speakers. Ray Giasullo will be the MC. He's the president of the Veterans Council for Martin County. And our guest speaker will be Brian Mass. And after the ceremony, the museum will be open, and they can walk over and visit the museum. And we'll stay open as long as people are interested in walking in there. And the nice thing about the museum, it's not a sterile environment. You actually can hold the some of the artifacts that we have. Of course, you got to ask, but
sure,
we'll let you actually hold and feel them and get a sense of history that you're holding in your hand that somebody may have carried into battle at one time or another. And it's amazing the contributions, not only the guys, but the women have made. We have a few places there where we honor the sacrifices of women. My mom was Rosie the Riveter. She worked at a bomb factory in Ohio, Kings Mills, Ohio. So she was making bombs. And then my dad was over in the Pacific and doing his thing with these B-24s.
Mm.
And the funny thing is, back then, they didn't always appreciate how smart women are, because one of the most beautiful women in Hollywood, Hedy Lamarr, had about 1,000 patents. And she had a way to prevent our torpedoes from being jammed. And they said, well, you're very nice, but we have all these really smart people here. And the fact of the matter is, with her patents, they let them expire. And after they expired, they came up with a technology she developed.
Wow.
Is the reason you have your cell phone today. Frequency shift keying was one of the factors on it.
My goodness.
So, I'm available to come out and do speeches to groups and that kind of thing. If people are interested, they could call that number, 703-835-4166. And once again, we're open every Saturday from 10 to 2 or by appointment for groups.
Okay.
So,
wow. Bob, that's thank you so much for joining us today. We need, as I say, this is my personal opinion, but I believe that it's shared by so many. We need to give more attention to what our veterans have done for us and thank them. And personally, Bob, I want to thank you for your service.
I appreciate that.
Appreciate what you've done and what you're continuing to do. I'm going to close this segment, Bob. I'd love to pray for the veterans and for you, of course, and as that is included, those who are living, but those also have gone to be with the Lord, and their families. So if you grant me a moment, I'm just going to ask God to bless. Father, we just thank you for our veterans, all the things they've done for us. They selflessly put themselves in harm's way because of the greater good of this nation for the maintaining of our freedoms. And Lord, we know that if it weren't for the blood of our soldiers, our freedoms would be in jeopardy. It's sad to think that some have to give all, the whole of their lives for that. And yet throughout history, that has always been the case. But Father, we thank you for all of our veterans throughout time, from the beginning of this nation until today. We ask, Lord, for your love and your compassion to be showered on their families. And for those who are still with us, and many are struggling, we pray that your mercy would be released in their lives and that you would guide them to every resource they need to have the peace and the comfort that they deserve. And we just praise you, Lord, for your love for this country and for the people who've served it over time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bob, thank you, sir. I perceive that we're going to be talking to you again down the road. Stay in touch with us. And we have just a few minutes left before we're going to be hearing from Chuck Swindoll. And we thank again Bob Schertz for calling in about the Memorial Day activities and the Road to Victory Military Museum in Stuart. And again, that number you can reach for information is 703-835-4166. Karen.
Dave.
Yeah, we haven't heard much from you today, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's so interesting to listen to him. And, you know, where he said that the museum, they honor veterans and preserve history. I went there, I moved here in 2009. Wow, I've been here a long time.
yeah, that's a long time, yeah.
Probably not as long as some people who have grown up here and lived here, but I didn't even know about the museum back then, but somehow I happened upon it. And so I took a little tour, and it was so interesting. And he's right, it's like a hands-on. So everything's not in cases, you know, hermetically sealed or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, hands-on stuff, and they've got mannequins with uniforms on, you know, that people have donated. I guess pretty much everything in there has been donated
mm-hmm.
by veterans or maybe their families. And for the size of the museum, there's just a lot of really interesting things in there. And I highly recommend this. Some weapons, like he was talking about, the Japanese
machine gun, yeah.
Correct. And but uniforms and just little trinkets from different places, and very, very interesting. I highly recommend.
Well, I'm
personally.
I don't know why I've not been there, because I'm a big supporter of the veterans and mm-hmm. our military. And but I now being I've humbled myself by saying that I'm going to go. But before yeah. we sign off for today, Karen, because I know you're a Navy vet,
mm-hmm.
and I want to thank you for your service as well.
Oh, thank you.
We
appreciate that.
Appreciate that. Everybody, it's as a friend of mine who just retired from the Army, his favorite line is, one team, one fight.
That's right.
You know, and we're all together in this. We have to be for this nation.
Yeah. And as Bob had mentioned, you know, when you're a veteran, you're a veteran, and we're all together.
Absolutely. Well, in about just a terribly short period of time, we're going to be signing off from Wednesday Live so that we can continue with the rest of our broadcast day. Thank you for listening in. Every Wednesday we do this. We are thankful for you, the listener, because we are a listener-supported station, and you all have been so good about responding to God's call on your lives in that regard. And we just love to hear from you. If you have a prayer request or a praise report, give us a call.